Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm going to read. We're in 1 Corinthians 3, if anyone has your Bible and wants to follow along. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning at verse 1. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? When one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or the present or the future. All are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. And we thank the Lord for his word to us tonight. We're continuing our look through 1 Corinthians as a complement to the teaching on pillars. The teaching on pillars is talking about the qualities of a church, of a good church, not necessarily an ideal church, but a good church that one should aspire to. And those are 8 pillars, and we've been talking you through them in the morning. And then in the evening, we've been using 1 Corinthians, because 1 Corinthians looks at a church which typifies, in many respects, a church today, with all its good points and its bad points, and looks at the behaviors of those who claim Christ crucified within the church, looks at the behaviors of that church. And as we've said before, We've characterized the Corinthian church as a highly divided church. It's a church that's obsessed by wealth and money and power and sex and everything that's not really of God, yet something within them still wants to proclaim Christ crucified, but there are divisions. Some are following Apollos, some are following Cephas. They're all over the place. And Paul writes then to them to speak into the mess that they have created for themselves in order to help them understand it and unravel it and make it better. So it very much speaks to the members of the church in the state that they are about the behaviors that they are exhibiting. And chapter 3, you can put up the first slide, please. Chapter 3, very much speaks to me as I was reading it. There were so many things that were going on in this chapter. We could probably do several sermons. But one of the things that really, really rang out was responsibility. Any of you who are Marvel superhero fans? Well, know, and I am that nerd. Will know that Spider-Man's uncle tells him that with great power comes great responsibility. All right? So I'm aiming to make you feel a little uncomfortable tonight, and I'm not looking for forgiveness for that. I think the Lord is asking us to feel a sense of uncomfortableness as I ask you how responsible you're feeling. You are sitting here willingly. I don't think anybody dragged you here or bullied you into coming here. You're here because you want to hear the word of God. You want to worship. You are members of the Church of Christ. And so with that membership and with that commitment comes responsibility, to which Paul is talking to, among other things, within this passage. So I'm asking you how responsible you feel tonight. And you can work out at what level that responsibility and what direction that works as we go along. I hope it becomes clear, but that's the challenge. How responsible are you feeling tonight as a member of the Church of Christ? Next. Well, I suppose I can do it, can't I? Oh, there you've done it. Right. So, Empire State Building. A magnificent, magnificent building. And has quite deep foundations. I'm a bit of a, I like facts and figures and stuff like that there. So this is, it has foundations up to 80 meters deep, which is quite a lot, isn't it? I don't know what that is, feet. Somebody can do the calculations, maybe 240, 250 feet, something like that. So 80 meters deep. Why? So that it has a low center of gravity and can sway. And I've been at the top of it and felt it move. It's rather unnerving to feel this building move when you're standing at the top, but it was built that way. Somebody thought that's a really good idea. This design, it needs this in the design so that it can move. Thought that was quite cool. This is the Hoover Dam between Nevada and Colorado, maybe. Nevada, Colorado. And massive structure. Built in the time of the Depression, 1931 to 1935. Huge structure. Has 4.36 million cubic yards of concrete. See, I like that fact. You're all going, what's the point of that fact? Well, the fact is that it's been still around since 1935. It has survived earthquakes. It was built to last. Even though it was built so many years ago, it was built to last. Indeed, if you took all that concrete, here's where it gets really nerdy. If you take all that concrete, you could build a 100-foot square solid column 2.5 miles high. Or if you felt like it, you could use all that concrete and build a 16-foot wide road from San Francisco to New York. So that's a lot, right? Took 5 years to build, but it's still there. It's still there. Good foundations. Next, who likes playing with Lego? All right. There's always the best toy. The best toy with the kids. Lego. And then I got like a dream came true in 1999. And I was intrigued. I was working as a business editor. And I was intrigued by what was going on at MIT in Boston, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, world famous university. I was intrigued what was going on there because they were building companies at a ferocious rate. And I wondered what the secret was. What was the secret of building all these companies and new start companies and growth companies? And I thought, right, I need to know. How will I find out? I'll go to Boston, to MIT. And I figured out, I went to Boston, and I was introduced to some people at MIT who very kindly showed me around MIT. And it was wonderful. But they brought me to a room. They brought me to a room about this double the size of the average living room. And there were column or shelves and shelves of Lego bricks. The room was sponsored by Lego, and sitting on the floor, I jest not, sitting on the floor were two guys with double PhDs, and they were playing with Lego. They were playing with Lego in this world-famous university, and I'm going, what are they doing playing with Lego? But they were using their imaginations in order to build something, and something that would last. But obviously, the whole room was sponsored by Lego. They wanted to build something for Lego that would be profitable, and they built out of that, at that time, way back, they built what the Lego Mindstorm brick, which was a programmable brick, and you could put it on a thing that looked like a robot, and the robot would work. But they were building things. They were building things, and in the most unusual and creative and imaginative way, and I thought that was great, and I could never look at Lego bricks in the normal way thereafter. But as we look at this passage, the first thing that leapt out at me was, okay, what is our sense of responsibility in church? What is our sense of responsibility? Acknowledging the picture of this Corinthian church and all its divisions and all its arguments and all its mess, what is my responsibility? What is my responsibility? And secondly then, what are we building? What are we building, and what do the foundations look like? You see, right at the start of this, Paul acknowledges that he's been teaching these guys as if they're children who could only eat or could only drink milk. They were being fed on milk. He's acknowledging, that's what I gave you. Telling them that they weren't quite ready for anything a bit more solid. And we'll come back to that shortly. But he was also challenging them around, well, what are we building? When you look at the church around you, when you look at the church that's in mess in Corinthians, when you look at our church, when you look at the worldwide church, when you look at the church in Ireland, surely we need to be smart and say, well, what exactly are we building and how are we going about it? With what kind of spiritual intellect are we applying to its construction? What sort of foundations are we laying? Because in this passage, he tells them all that they're God's fellow workers. We're God's fellow workers. We have a job to do alongside God. He's not sitting there with his arms folded. He's actively moving amongst us by the power of his Spirit, and he's challenging each and every one of us to take responsibility for the things that he's given us to do and to build the church, to build the church, to understand its simplicity, its complexities as well. Work our way through divisions. See solutions, not just problems. And he tells us about foundations. Verse 10, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. And his foundation, of course, is Jesus Christ. What's the hymn? The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that right? His foundation was only Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Nothing else mattered. Paul could see through the mess of churches, the division in churches, the idiosyncrasies of the people within the churches, the complexities of the politics outside the churches. He could see everything that was going on, and he stayed focused on one thing and one thing only, which was laying a foundation of Jesus Christ upon which to build the church. Upon which to build the church. What are we building? What are you in your responsibility with your sense of responsibility With your sense of calling, with your giftings, what are you building? What are you building? And why? And who are we building it for? Why? For whom? And for what purpose? We're building a church to glorify God. We want the church to grow and bring more people in to glorify God. We're building a church whose purpose is to spread the love of Jesus Christ at the cross and ripple it, have a ripple effect across this world. And we're doing it in our place, and others are doing it in their place, and they all meet, and so on and so forth. You can get the picture. But that's our responsibility. We're building a church on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And that is a very, very responsible thing to be doing. In fact, I would argue that it's the most responsible pursuit in the world today. And here's the problem and the solution. That's our responsibility. Our responsibility to build this church, to see it grow, to see the love of Christ go to every nation as the Great Commission asked us to do, to make disciples. But it's also saying to those with a sense of responsibility about building the church, to grow up, to not just be on the milk, to not just be part of the world all the time. There's a lovely Greek word here. You know, I kind of like my Greeky nerdy stuff too. It's this sarkinos, fleshy. And he's telling them they're fleshy, they're not spirit enough. They're caught in a gap between the spiritual world and the real world, and they can't decide which part of it they want to be in. And right now, they're so immersed in the flesh of the world that they're almost drowning in it, such as their desire for illicit sexual relations and money and wealth and power and greed. And all of those things, they've forgotten their single-minded responsibility to build a church on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and everything else the Lord will take care of. He's reminding them of what their responsibility is. And more so, he's also telling them they're far too worldly. Sarkikos, you're far too worldly. And isn't that arguably true of our church today as it cozies up to the world to feel a wee bit more relevant or a wee bit more loved or have a little bit more power or get a little bit more influence? Instead of staying focused on building a church and taking this responsibility and owning it and growing up into it, and getting off the milk and onto the mash. No, but you know what I mean. Onto the solid food. That's the responsibility. And what is it? This church is us. And there he was talking about church, but he's also talking about this sense of temple. And then he reminds them that we're the temple. Verse 16, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. You are that temple. God's Spirit dwells within us. We carry around God. And we're building a wider church in that vein. Now, some people will go at this hammer and tong. Paul acknowledges it. Verse 12, now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. In other words, there are lots of materials, lots of ways in which we can build this church. But what he's really talking about is the amount of effort, the dedication that people are putting into it. So some people, you know, like they go at it with gold and silver and precious stones, indicating their determination and their dedication and their single-mindedness in building the church. And then there are others who, well, you know, they still belong to Jesus, but they're only kind of doing it half-heartedly. They haven't quite worked out the full responsibility that they have in giving it their all. In giving it their all. And sometimes I wonder why we do that. Why we think that we can't give more. And I imagine it a bit like Jesus holding on to us with a very large bungee. Has anybody done a bungee jump here? No. See, you're all sane, smart people. Have you ever watched a bungee jump? Yeah. And they jump. And they go right to the end of the bungee, and it hauls them back to the beginning. And sometimes I look at Jesus and I think, Jesus wants us to go to the end of the bungee. He's never going to let us go. We're never really going to get into trouble. We're not going to smash into the valley below or whack ourselves off the rocks. He's always going to bring us back. But lamentably, not many of us actually take the jump, take the leap of faith. Go for it. Understand the responsibility. Live it. Own it. Breathe it. But he needs us to do that if we're going to build this church on the foundation that is Jesus Christ. He needs us to take risks. He needs us to jump off on that bungee, and he's holding and he's going, I'll never let you go. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm always with you every minute of every day. I'm there for you. What's the problem? What's the problem? He needs us to jump. Now, part of the problem is that some of us are concerned about what the rest of the world might think. If we actually own this responsibility for building the church, they might think we're a wee bit weird or a wee bit odd. And Paul's saying you have to become a fool for God. You have to become a fool for God. A fool in the world's eyes, but not in God's eyes. You're going to do some things and the world's going to think you're absolutely nuts. You're going to say some things and they're going to think you're absolutely crazy, or you're going to desperately offend them. But if we're taking responsibility for the building of his church, then this goes with the territory. This goes with the territory. We have to become a fool for God. Maybe some other people think that they're a little bit like a cracked pot and you feel unworthy. That you don't feel you have the skills or the intellect or whatever to do this. Yet the Lord has called you to himself and you've answered his call. And if anyone hasn't, please come and see Simon and I afterwards if you feel called. The Lord, you've answered his call. You are eminently worthy in the sense that he knows your brokenness. He went to the cross. He wants you to do things for him. There's a great story about cracked pot, where this guy has two pots, and he has to go to a well every day. He has to go half a mile to the well, and he has two pots, each holding 2 liters each. But one's got crack in it, and he's never been able to afford a new one. So he fills them up with water, and he holds them, and he walks back to the house, and then the next day, he walks back, he fills them up, walks back to the house. Now, after about 6 or 7 months, the pot with the crack in it is feeling terribly unworthy and says to his master, I'm really sorry. You fill me up every day. But by the time you get home, I don't hold as much water as you thought I would at the start. And so I feel as if I've let you down. And the master says, No, You haven't let me down. You haven't let me down. Have you looked at the ground along the way back to the house? And this time the pot looks at the ground on the way, and there are beautiful flowers all along the way on the side that he was carried, where his water has dripped out and where seeds have sprung and flourished and become beautiful. The cracked pot has done a beautiful thing from a sense of unworthiness, and the Lord will exploit your effort and help your effort to grow, just as Paul is alluding to, that God does the growth. No matter how you feel about serving the Lord, every single individual in this room has something to give the Lord. And the Lord will use it. But understanding the need to do it begins with understanding the responsibility that you have to do it. The Lord's kingdom won't grow if we don't act. The church worldwide won't grow and flourish if we don't act. We have a responsibility to do so. And often the problem lies in that we hold in tension our salvation on the one hand with our responsibility, and we're afraid to be responsible lest something happens to this. Jesus will never let you go, but he wants you to step out in faith and own the responsibility of growing the church. And in the midst of division and pain and suffering and concern and all the pressures that we could point to against the modern church, he's saying, I'm there, I'm with you every step of the way. Do your bit, I'll make it grow. Get off the milk and onto the mash. Think more deeply about your responsibility as a follower of Jesus Christ and then put it into action. Don't worry too much about your personal consequences or fortune, because you have eternal life. I gave you that at the cross. I bled and died there at the cross for you, in order that you wouldn't feel so hesitant about taking on the responsibility of doing the work of the church and seeing it grow. Growing the church is not a trivial pursuit. It's for serious people at a serious time in a serious way. It is not a casual pursuit. It is not a trivial pursuit. It is not a game. We have a responsibility to be serious about growing his church in this world. And for us, our world begins and ends in this parish. And all of us here this evening share the responsibility for growing the church in this place. How responsible are you feeling now? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you went to the cross and died for us. Lord, help us to grow in you. Help us to lay a foundation of you. Help us to build upon that foundation of you. Help us to build a church centered on you. Help us to take responsibility for the things that you've already planned for us to do, and to do it without fear or worry or doubt or a sense of unworthiness in our calling, but to simply do it and leave you to do the growth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.